morning, everybody, and welcome to church this morning. It's so good to see you. I have to be honest, it's even better to see so many children in our service this morning. We are so pleased to see you. We have missed you, and we're so glad that you are with us this morning. And I tell you what, I hope that you're going to help us with our singing. I hope to be able to hear you. So it's so good to see so many children with us this morning. Before we open our service with some praise and worship, let's just pray together. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the privilege that it is to be able to come into your house this morning. And we thank you, Father, that we're not doing this out of ritual and we're not doing it out of habit, Father. We're thankful that you're here. And we thank you that you're with us this morning and that we know, because it says in your word, Father, that where two or three are gathered, you are there in the middle of them, Father. So we praise your name for that this morning. And we just thank you so much that we have a church to come to so freely, that we take it for granted from time to time, Father, but ultimately it's a privilege, and we are so thankful for that. Father, we just pray for those this morning who can't be with us in our service. Father, would you just be with them? Would you just touch them now, Father, and would you let them know that even though they can't be with them, you are with them, and that you are right there in their homes or in their hospital beds, Father, and that you are just right beside them. We just commit this service to you, Father. We thank you for the boys and girls that are here with us in such good numbers. We've missed them so much. We pray for your protection over them, Father. We commit them to you. They're yours, Father. And we just pray that you would just really speak into their wee lives this morning and that they would take something away from this service, Father, that they need a saviour if they don't have one already. We just commit the rest of this service into your hands, Father, and we just thank you so much for it. In your name, amen. We're just going to begin by singing a few hymns of worship, and the first one that we're going to sing together, is I Stand Amazed in the Presence. And I know it's hard because we're not allowed to stand up at the moment, but you are allowed to clap and you are allowed to sing loudly, so it would be really brilliant if we could hear you singing even though we're not allowed to actually stand. Let's sing together. with us. The next song that we're going to sing this morning is Days of Elijah. Change in my life has been wrought. And Janet Logan prayed the words of this song in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I was just so blessed by the thought, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And I hope that that's the same for you this morning, that your life has been wonderfully changed as well. And if not, then this is the perfect Sunday to make that change in your life. So let's sing this hymn together and be grateful for the change that Jesus has brought into our lives.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you in God's house this morning. And we appreciate you worshiping with us, whether you're here in the church, over in the hall, or watching online at home. It's lovely to see the boys and girls in the service this morning. We haven't had you in our Sunday morning service for a long time, and it's really, really good to see you. And would you do something for me, boys and girls? You see, when you're having your dinner today, have a quiz with your parents and ask them what the announcements were. Because they never listen. So there you are. That means everybody will be listening today. So it is good to see you. And this evening, come back again at 6 p.m. if you've already booked. And the pastor will be speaking. And we will be having communion this evening. Normally we have it in the morning, but we will be having it this evening because of our special service today. And if you're not booked into the service, then have the emblems ready and you can share with us. We have our church prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30. Again, no booking required for that. Thursday, Connect meet at 7 o'clock in the church car park for fire pits and crack. So that's Connect, our meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, our pastor will be speaking at both of those services. That's 11 in the morning, 6 in the evening. And again, you do need to book in for those services. A couple of other announcements. First of all, we have some literature for you. It's available on the display board at the back. In Focus magazine from the ESCC and also the CEF magazine. These are all the announcements, and of course, they're all made, God willing.
Hello, boys and girls. Okay, well, we'll try that one again. Hello, boys and girls. Oh, you can do better than that. It's your first time in church in a long time. Hello, boys and girls. Better, better. Well, we are so happy to have you back in church this morning that we are going to sing a few choruses on one condition, that you are the ones that sing the loudest, okay? Because you don't have masks on. Everybody else does. So I need you to sing really, really loud, okay? You know them really well. Now, I have a sore shoulder, so I'm going to need help for the choruses. And the only person I'm sorry that I can bring up is Harper. Can you come up and help me? I wish I could bring you all up. Okay. The first one, just checking, the first one we're going to sing is Our God is a Great Big God. And I want to see everybody doing the actions, not just the kids. And were your mummies and daddies doing the actions as well? Are you sure? Give them a wee nudge if they're not. Okay, the next one we're going to sing is There is a Flag Flying High from the Castle of My Heart. Thank you.
Thank you very much for singing your best, and we really do hope that the King is in residence in your heart as well. Thank you.
Well, can I add my word of welcome to everybody, especially to the boys and girls, but to everyone that's here this morning. It's good to have you here. It's good to hear the enthusiasm of the boys and girls and to share in their songs together. And it is absolutely brilliant, and I have enjoyed it immensely. As you know, we have decided to try and gear the service as much for the boys and girls. And in speaking with Judith and Sam, they told me that they were going through the relationship with God, the family of God, and the various aspects of that. And so we are going to try and keep to that theme this morning. And we're going to try and do, God willing, a PowerPoint presentation. And hopefully that will work well this morning. Just one or two things just to say that we do want to pray. And there are a number of folk that have recovered from COVID, from the virus. I'm just calling it the bug now, so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But others have contracted it, and maybe you do are aware. I've been talking to Andrew this morning, and he says, well, it's going to be out. He has it now himself, and so he's isolating within his own house. Claire and Benjamin do not have it, but we want to pray for the family at this time that they will know the protection of God. And I know that quite a few people this morning have cancelled here because they've got the cold or something. If you've got the cold and you're not sure whether it's a cold or not, why don't you go for a lateral test, and that'll give you some idea, and that'll keep you safe and those that you're mixing and mingling with safe as well. So do remember, we are none of us free. I was talking to Maxine this morning to say that Audrey's daughter, Christine, is a lot better, though she's very tired at the moment, but she's recovering. Joe Wilson phoned me last night late to say that his son, you know, Joe used to sit there somewhere on that side. You'll all know Joe, I'm sure. His son, Robert, is going for his third operation, a cancer operation, on Monday morning, and he asked us as a church to pray for him. And Bobby Gilliland is going for his treatment on Monday. Paul is making slow progress, but do continue to remember him in prayer. So much to pray for, so many issues going on, but don't get depressed. Look up, because our God is still in control. Do you believe that? And I've enjoyed singing those great songs that speak about the future. And it might seem as if it's all done and all over down here, but I wanted to, and it might seem as if it's all doom and gloom, but it's better on before. No matter how good it is, it's still better on before. So whether you're over in the hall, whether you're listening at home, whether you're here in the church, we trust that you know the Lord's blessing, and especially the boys and girls here this morning. Let's bow together in prayer as we lift all of these issues before the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity of bowing together before the throne of grace, knowing, Lord, that our God is here, and, Lord, we believe that he answers prayer. We thank you for who you are, the great God of heaven, the great I Am, the one who said to Moses, just tell the people I Am, the eternal El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. And we bless and praise you, O God, for your wonderful love and your interest in the affairs of men. And Father, we come to worship you as Rebecca has prayed this morning. But also, Lord, we come here to bring our tributes of praise and thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of all that's going on, we thank you that we can still look to our God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. We ask, Lord, that you will be one of our number today. And Father, we pray that you will draw our hearts out after you, and we pray for the boys and girls as they listen to the message. And we ask, Lord, that the parents too will engage in what God is saying. We ask, Lord, that you will be very real, that you will be one of our number, that, O God, that you will speak to all of our hearts. Remember Robert Wilson, Father, in America, Joe's son. We ask, Lord, that you'll undertake for him. We ask, Lord, for Paul McConnell. We ask for Bobby Gilliland. We ask, Lord, for Sandra Ross. Thank you that she's home. Thank you that Billy Weir's home. We pray, Lord, for those who are going through severe treatment, those who are in the throes of this old virus. We pray for Andrew and Claire and little Benjamin. We lift them up collectively before you and pray, O God, that you'll keep your good hand on them. We pray that you'll meet their every need. And, Father, may it only be a very brief encounter with this bug, this virus, and may they know safety and security. Set your angels around that home, we pray, and grant that your presence and your blessing will be a felt reality. For those who have had to cancel this morning because of colds and flus and whatever, we pray, oh God, you'll keep them safe, that you'll meet their need, and oh God, grant that they'll not be too disappointed in not being able to be here with us here in the church. And we commit ourselves to you. We pray, dear Father, that you'll be one of our number, that you'll help us by your Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we are going to have a little PowerPoint. I'm going to ask Stuart if he can put up the first one there, and then I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. As I said to you earlier on, I was speaking to Sam and Judith, and they told me that what they would like me to talk about was looking at the cross through the eyes of the Father. And I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, if you've ever tried to look at the cross through the eyes of the Father, the Lord Jesus, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that was a mighty challenge. What was in his heart? What was going through his mind? And so the only thing that I could come up with was that we would do an interview with the Father. An interview with the Father. Ask him a number of questions and see what he has to say. And so before we do that, boys and girls, I want us to read from Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. And there is quite a number of verses, but we need to get the context of what I'll be saying. And we could have went to any number of scriptures, but we're going to Matthew chapter 27 and breaking in at the verse 32. Jesus has been arrested and he's already on the way to Calvary. He's carrying his own cross. And he's been so badly beaten and so badly maligned and abused that they are now enlisting someone to help carry his cross. Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 32. Now it came to pass, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of the Jews, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same language. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there when they heard that said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down to save him." Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word. And I tell you, I've already told you boys and girls why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm hoping that it really falls in with what you've been learning in Sunday school since you started back on this session. Now, I want you to do a wee thing for me. Now, Billy wanted you to remember the announcements, isn't that right? And you have to quiz Mommy and Daddy as to what the announcements were that were made in the church this morning. And I would be interested to see how many mummies and daddies really know and remember what Billy said. But I have a wee job for you. You know what it is? I want you to keep a good eye on Mummy and Daddy in this service, all right? And I want you to make sure that they behave themselves. Can you do that? And you make sure that they listen really, really closely, because what I have to say is very, very important for Mummy and Daddy as well as for the boys and girls. And because this is the most important message that any boy or girl or any mum and dad has ever heard. So I want you to keep an eye on them. Will you do that for me? You're allowed to say yes. Will you do that for me? Yeah, keep a good eye on Mummy and Daddy and make sure they behave themselves and that they're good and quiet in church today. Did you ever come across a scene where there's a lot of people gathered around and there's a commotion going on, maybe in the school playground? Sometimes I take my little granddaughter, Harriet, around for a wee walk. Well, actually with her it's a wee run, and I try to keep up with her. Round past the school there in White Abbey, and there's loads and loads of boys out playing, and boys and girls out playing in the playground. And sometimes there's a crowd of people gathered around somebody else, and there's a bit of a commotion going on. Or were you ever traveling along in your car with your mum and dad, and you see a crowd of people around two cars that seem to be crashed or smashed, and there's a bit of a commotion, and you know those people that are goosenecking? You know what goosenecking is, do you? In other words, they're just watching to see what's happened. I call it nosiness. And of course, something has happened. Well, this is the kind of a scene that's going on here with the cross. There's lots of things happening. There's a very angry crowd shaking their fist and shouting. There's another crowd and they're cheering and jeering. And then there's another crowd and they are weeping and they're crying. And then there's other voices heard where there's lots and lots of pain and agony been felt. Now, can you imagine? You have to use your imagination. At the distance, there's a stranger who doesn't know what's going on. And they turn to someone else who seems to know what's happening. And they ask their first question, what's happening here? Now, they don't know that it's God the Father that they're talking to. But they ask the question, what's happening here? I mean, there's an angry crowd and there's pain and there's all sorts of things going on, and it seems as like there's an awful commotion. And the father says, well, there's lots of people and they're very angry at those three men that they're killing today. There's two men on the cross and they are thieves and robbers, and there's another man. And sorry, I hope this thing works. Why or what are the, who are the people that's been crucified? Well, there's two thieves. They've been very bad people. They've been guilty of creating havoc and distress among the people and unrest. And then there's another man. Well, who is that other man? Is he a thief? Oh, no. No, he's not a thief. In fact, he's a very good man. And I tell you how I know that, because whenever there was blind people, he came and he healed their blindness. And whenever the lepers had leprosy, he was the only one that would embrace them. And he was the only one that would help them. No, he's a very good man. The next question then is, well, could it not be stopped? Could it not be stopped? Well, actually, it could be stopped, because the man in the middle cross is my son. And he could stop it himself. All he has to do is say, that's enough. And I will send my angels, and they will deliver him. In fact, he could have called 10,000 angels. Now, the Bible says he could have called 12 legions of angels. Now, think about it, boys and girls, mums and dads, and those of you in the hall and those at home. If it only took one death angel to go over Egypt and kill all the firstborn of the dead, imagine those 12 legions of angels just waiting for the order to come from my son, the Lord Jesus, and they would have destroyed the world, as the song says, but he died alone for you and me. He could have called 12 legions of angels. Well, why did he not call them is the next question. Well, he didn't call them because he loves us. In fact, the Bible verse says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know love. We know love, what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He loves us so much, or he loves you so much. He's dying for you on the cross. He's taking your punishment and your pain. In fact, that's the greatest act of love that I have ever seen, in that my son was willing to die for sinners, for his enemies. Can it not be stopped? He could have stopped it. Will you not stop it then? Well, actually, I could stop it, but I'm not going to stop it. Now remember, boys and girls, this is the Father. He's looking at his son being crucified, and he has all the power to stop what's happening on the cross. Jesus could have stopped it, and the Father could have stopped it. But he actually says, no, me and Jesus, we planned this from before the world began. This is our plan. Because we knew that men and women, people who have been created, people like you, were going to become bad people, become sinners. And it was our plan from the beginning that man would always have a way out. Now you're going to listen to a wee song for a minute, and I hope it works, and then we'll go through the verse ourselves.
To be the Savior.
Is it any wonder they're cheering that there's a way out? It was planned from the beginning. But there's another reason why it was planned from the beginning. Because, sorry, we've missed the slide there. Sorry, can I go back again? Sorry, that's right. That's my fault. Can I go past that? Thank you. All right, we're going to try and I forget the way I put these up. But anyway, we're going to try and learn this verse ourselves, all right? So the Bible says, and by the way, Americans don't know how to spell Savior. Did you notice that? You have to put an U in it, all right? But let's say this verse together after two. One, two. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 14, and we have and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. A way before you and I were created, a way before you and I were born, our Heavenly Father had already planned that you and I would have a way out. Why did He do that? Well, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, boys and girls, God created you and me as a family to be part of His family. He wanted us to have fellowship, to enjoy Him, to live in His liberty and to live in freedom with Him, to enjoy Him. Do you see the stuff that's going on in the world today? This is not how God planned it. And for us to be separated from God, that's not how He planned it. God had a wonderful plan that we would live in His presence and live that life in fellowship with God and enjoy Him every day, every day. But something terrible happened. Something terrible happened, and it's called the fall. Now let me explain. I'm sure that there are boys and girls and that they've fallen, maybe as they've been running along. Our little granddaughter, she spends more time picking herself up from having fallen. She just is so clumsy, I think she takes after me. But maybe you fall. I remember as a young child, I have fallen out of a tree. I have fallen out of a roof of a from a roof of a house. I have fallen off a motorbike travelling at 75 miles an hour. In fact, it says, and you know what the wonderful thing is, boys and girls? I'm still alive. And you know what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1? It says, He shall give His angels charge over those who shall be heirs of salvation. But sometimes people do get hurt, but not all the time. Maybe you've fallen out of a tree. Maybe you've fallen off a wall. Maybe you've been climbing some places where you shouldn't have fallen. But you know what? There's another kind of fall. It's where people disagree and they fall out. And sometimes that fallout is so grievous that they separate one from the other and they never ever talk to each other again. That's a wee bit like what the Father's going to explain to you just now. You see, and the Father takes up the conversation here. He said, I made a wonderful situation where Adam and Eve, the first parents, would have fellowship and fellowship with me and enjoy the many blessings that I had. There was a tree in the middle of that garden, and it was called the Tree of Life. And I said there was only one restriction, and that was that they would never touch that tree, never eat its fruit. And that was a rule. Boys and girls, you know it's not wrong to have rules. Because rules teach you respect. Rules teach you discipline. And rules in your home are an avenue or an opportunity for you to show your parents that you love them and you respect them. Well, getting back to the story, I made this tree in the middle of the garden. And I told them that the day that they ate from that tree, something very bad would happen. But did they listen to me? One day Eve was passing by this tree and the serpent walked into the garden, but he crawled out. The serpent was in the tree and he deceived Eve and Adam. And he called me, listen boys and girls, he called me a liar. Because I told them that if they ate of that tree, that they would die. But the devil said, no, they won't die. And he said, it was good for you to eat. And I said, no, it's bad for you to eat. And so they disobeyed my rules. And it's a big word, boys and girls, mums and dads. It's a big word. It's called rebellion. They had broken their only means whereby they could prove their love for me. And they went against my word. Satan was so cunning. He talked Eve into taking this forbidden fruit. She took the fruit. And Adam soon came along and she gave it to Adam. And Adam, as soon as he ate it, he realized he had done something wrong. He realized that this was the wrong thing that they had done. I was there. I saw it happen. They just did their own thing. And the devil had deceived Adam and Eve into taking what was not theirs to take. Then they became ashamed and tried to hide themselves in the bushes. Trying to hide from God? Imagine trying to hide from God. God who's everywhere. Who sees everything. Who knows everything. Who hears everything. Well, they tried to hide. I tell you why they tried to hide, boys and girls and mums and dads. Because they became ashamed. Did you ever do, boys and girls, did you ever do anything wrong and you ran and hid in case mummy and daddy would find you? Is that right? Did you, Harper? I think you're an honest girl. Peter, I asked your daddy. Daddy, did you ever do anything wrong when you were a boy or a little child and you tried to run and hide? Isn't that right? Yeah. Mums and dads, do you know whenever you have an accident and the police come out and see what caused the accident? Well, it was your man's fault. Did you hear about the boy that had an accident and he ran into a tree? He says, I came around the corner and I ran into a tree that wasn't there this morning. That's inherent. We all, since Adam and Eve fell, we have this propensity, we have this attitude, this belief that we have to try and explain that it wasn't me, it wasn't my fault. And Adam and Eve became ashamed. And of course, God taking up the story again, I came into the garden to find Adam and Eve. Now, boys and girls, I already knew where Adam and Eve were. I already knew what they'd done. And I already knew what had happened. But I came looking. Let me say this to you, boys and girls. God always comes looking for us. Always. And sometimes we feel as if we're found out. Or sometimes we feel, I'm glad they know that happened. So that I confess to them, to our parents. I asked Adam and Eve three questions. What have you done? Where are you? And who told you that you were naked? And you know what? They never tried to answer any of those questions. Never once. Do you know who they blamed? They blamed me. They blamed me and they told me it was me sent the serpent into the garden. And I knew full well that their lies were now real and full blown. Boys and girls, Father speaking to you again. I'm holy. I can't look upon sin. Sin for me is it is an insult. It's rebellion. And I can't have fellowship with people who have sin blackened hearts. So I chased Adam and Eve out of the garden. And I told them that they couldn't come back in again. They really grieved me. And you know what really made me saddest of all? was that family. That relationship that we had was now broken and destroyed. Laying in tatters. Oh, I used to enjoy coming down into the garden and enjoying Adam and Eve's fellowship. Because after all, I gave them special abilities to do that with me. And I gave them the opportunity to do it because I came down into the garden in the cool of the evening to enjoy their company. And I wanted them to enjoy my company. And now my heart's broken. That family unit's destroyed. Because I'm holy. Remember the rule that we said about earlier on, that if you eat of the tree, you will die. That's what God meant when he said you would die. Die spiritually. Separated from God. With no way back in your own strength or own ability. Because God is holy. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You don't die physically, you die spiritually. And there are those in this church service listening, perhaps over in the hall or online or even in this service, who have been born in sin, but you've never accepted Christ as Saviour. And as far as God is concerned, you're still dead to Him. You're not enjoying His relationship. You're not enjoying relationship with Him. You're still outside the fold and family. You're still a stranger to God, and He's breaking His heart. Do you know, if you're sitting in this church today and you're not saved, you're breaking God's heart. You're saying, I don't want His Son. I don't want Christ. I don't want forgiveness. You're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did way back in the garden when they fell. You're doing exactly, this is good for me. I'll do what I like. It's my life. My life. It broke his heart. You know, boys and girls, as I said earlier, God was making a way where you could be forgiven. And on the cross, Christ was dying to pay the full penalty for your sins, so that you might have that forgiveness and that relationship restored. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the Father speaking again. Am I sad? Yes, I am. Sad that my son had to suffer so. Sad that people have become so wicked and so arrogant, so hard, that they won't accept him. They won't believe him. Sad that they're so angry and vicious and vile towards him. Sad that they showed no respect for my love or kindness or goodness. Sad that people have become so angry, so full of rage, so full of pride. Sad that around the cross, there's only a couple of people really wants to cheer for him. But you know what? I am also pleased. I'm pleased that my son Jesus Christ was pure enough, holy enough, obedient enough, dedicated enough, loving enough to take the punishment for all the world in his own body. I am pleased, delighted, that there's a way of escape. I'm pleased that now my broken family can be restored. That if you trust and accept him, what Jesus has done on the cross, you can again become a child of God, born into his family. I'm pleased that Satan is defeated. I'm pleased that the quandary of death has now been broken. That spiritual death that has caused him to be cast away from my presence. I'm pleased that once again there'll be that relationship, that fellowship, possible for all who call upon his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Can I ask you before we go any further, boys and girls, mums and dads, have you received him? My challenge today was to speak to you about how the Father viewed the cross. You know what? That cross is still vital and important to the Father today, because he's wondering, has it been a waste of time for you? I understand there was good straight talking done last Sunday from both Roy and Stephen. I haven't got to hear the messages yet. But I understand that the challenge of dying and going to hell went from this very pulpit, and it goes from this pulpit regularly. To think that you would be in hell because you wouldn't bow your knee and accept Christ as Saviour, that'll break his heart most of all. I am pleased, he says, because everything has been done. There's opportunity now for the sin in people's lives to be broken and defeated. I am pleased that it's now as simple as asking Christ to be your Saviour. I am pleased that families may once again have me as the centre of their lives. I am pleased that broken homes, broken families, lives may again have peace and harmony and unity, shared love and a special bond. The Bible says, for there is coming a day and is now when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such as to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God's pleased. The Heavenly Father, as we look through his eyes, he's pleased not at the treatment of his Son, but he's pleased because now there's a way open back from the dark paths of sin, men and women. I make no apology for maybe going over the children's heads a little here, because I believe this is vitally important. You, as a parent, cannot lead your children to God if you're not following God yourself. And you can come to church and you can be involved in church and still not have that spiritual life that God is speaking of. If you want to know the basis, the purpose of the cross, it's this. It's this. That you once again worship the God of heaven. Because you have been given special abilities when you're born again of having fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what also? He's pleased that many nations right around the world will gather together that final day and sing the praises of him who loved them and gave themselves for them. Look at this phrase in Revelation. After this I looked and beheld a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and bright raiment. And they'll be singing, salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What was going through the eyes of the Father as he stood at the cross? Yes, there was sadness and grief and so much anger and hatred. But there was joy and jubilation. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, Judith also mentioned to me that I should mention something about communion. Well, there is communion this evening. What do we do? What is the communion? It reminds us of the family table. The table where we unite together as the family of God and celebrate and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible that our sins could be forgiven and we would have peace with God. through the eyes of the Father. I hope that has met some of the criteria for which you're going through in Sunday school at the moment. Shall we bow together in prayer? Father, we thank you that we can look at this so many ways. And so often, Lord, we ignore what it meant to thee, the Holy One. Father, we pray for every mum and dad here. Thank you for them, Lord. Lord, you didn't bring these children into this world so that they would go the way of the world. You brought these children that are in church today that they might go the way of Christ. Lord, you have never created one soul to be lost in hell. Lord, you have created souls that they might worship you and sing your praises. Father, we pray for every boy and girl, every mum and dad. Lord, just now in this service, as they've listened to the story through the eyes of the Father, that you'll grant the saving grace and faith in Jesus Christ. It just might be, as we're bowed in prayer, that you have never been saved. Whether you're a child or mum and dad, you've never been saved. Now you've seen the story through the eyes of the Father. Would you pray this little prayer and then tell me that you've done it? Here's the little prayer that I want you to pray. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to be my Savior. Thank you, Lord, that it was to restore that relationship that was broken all those years ago. Thank you, Lord, that you show me today that I'm outside the fold. I'm not in the family, but I want to be in that family. And I pray, loving Father, that you will just give the grace now, as someone would probably pray, perhaps pray, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I accept my conviction, and I turn from that sin, and I trust in what Christ has done for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our last song, and it is How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure. If there is anything that you want to talk to me about, please don't be afraid to get in touch with us. Or I'll be outside in the car park making myself available to you if you want to speak. It's a difficult thing to put over how it was in the Father, but from the Father's eyes. But I trust that you've seen something of the Father's heart today. Remaining seated, sing with your mask on, please, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, help and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us, Lord, throughout the remainder of this day and through the days and weeks that follow. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for the McAvoy family with us this morning, Lord, as they continue the mourning, to mourn the passing of a loved one. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them comfort and others, Lord, who still mourn the passing of dear ones. We pray, Lord, that you will draw graciously near. We commit ourselves to you, praying, God, that you will speak on in our hearts long after the human voice is silent. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Our thanks to the tech guys today for their help in getting all of that running so well today. Thank you. One more. Thank you.